What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to the main event of the week of the SmartCow Moment Smack Talk podcast. I'm your host, as always, Tony Mango, joined as always by Callum Wiggins.
Hello.
And Robert E. Felice.
Hear ye, hear ye. It is time for the King of the Ring.
We are following up on our mock draft that we had done last week, where we had a randomizer of the King of the Ring participants over the years, everybody that led up to the point that we had recorded, and we didn't get a chance to pick our cards this time around from our roster because of the randomizer. That's the whole point, you know, freshen it up every once in a while, do a randomizer, a good idea from Callum, where we ended up with our groups that, I mean, you can see on your screen in a moment when I switch over to you. There you go. You can see these are the people that we had been working with. Of course, if you're listening to us on the Spotify or Apple Podcast side of things or YouTube Music or something, you can't see it on your screen. That's the whole point. But the groups that we had a couple different options for some mulligans where we could repick. Some of it worked out. Some of it didn't quite so much. We'll run down, obviously, our cards on this edition and our 32-man tournaments, talk about how we got to that process and everything along those lines. Before we get started into all that, I want to remind everybody that we want to know what you have to say, so drop your thoughts in the comments section below. If you are on YouTube, then also make sure that you are subscribed to our channel. Ring that notification bell for those email alerts of when we go live for certain things. We obviously go live for the pay-per-view point post shows, but we have other things we could go live for too. You know, some watch-along stuff, maybe some mock draft stuff in the future too. So keep that in mind. Also, make sure to hit the like button on this video. It helps out a lot when it comes to the algorithm. And if you want to help us out on the monetary side of things, and I can't stress enough how much more important that is now more than ever, if you want to make sure that we continue to do two episodes of this a week, then the thanks button is a great way to do that. It's kind of the same thing as the Super Chats, but for a non-live sort of thing. The Join button gets you access to special content, which will be our follow-up for this. We're going to do another Darkcast episode that will be following up on this with some alternative cards. I went ahead and I actually booked not only an alternative card for myself, but a 32-man bracket for Callum and Rob's teams, and an alternative card for Callum and Rob's teams. So I have just mine alone, multiple different options when it comes to that. I'm not volunteering these guys to do their own for that, but of course they can if they want to. So stay tuned for the Darkcast coming up on that front. Also, Redbubble and TeePublic is where you can pick up some merchandise. All that stuff's greatly appreciated for Fanboys Anonymous, SmartCow Moment, and A-Mango Tees. And of course, if you are over there on the Patreon, thank you for your support over there too. You got access to the same Darkcast tier, the Pick Your Poison tier, where you can specifically sponsor something to be up on the channel. You know, if you want us to watch a certain event or you want us to do a certain superstar scores or something like that, that is how you do it. Keep in mind, of course, everything else that we normally talk about here. Drop your responses to our cards, run down who you think had the best card, what your alternative options would have been. I always love seeing the different ideas that people come up with when they have like, you know, maybe they did their own randomizer or maybe they decided like, oh, I would have crowned this person as King of the Ring or something like that. So keep all that in mind. Now, when we go and do our cards here, we will, of course, be talking about the people that we had been assigned through our randomizer, which again, you can see on your screen right now. So before we get into our specific cards, let me just ask you guys the simplest of all these questions. How easy slash hard did you find doing this tournament based off of not being able to choose who you actually wanted for this?
Opening round was difficult, but once that was settled, everything was pretty easy.
The opening round was the one that got you more than anything else, huh?
Well, yeah, because I had a lot of people I wanted to eliminate, but I had a lot of matches I wanted to get to, but some of them, you know, it just wasn't going to happen.
What about you, Callum? Easy, hard?
I think with any time that I've ever approached the tournament in any of these bookings, it's always important to work backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You should always go from winner and your main event and then just go and then everything else kind of just like falls into place. So there's certain things that like I'm not 100% satisfied with because just due to the people that I had. And so they're kind of like, some of them will just be, hey, this is a match in order to get to where I want to get to. But I've tried to make it as interesting and different as I possibly can with, and put a bit of thought into some of the matches in my 32-man card.
I worked backward as well, and I did something that I had said I would probably end up doing on our mock draft, which was I separated my 32 men into 16 that I cared the most about and 16 that I didn't care about. I actually found that kind of hard, where I was like, all right, I don't have necessarily 16 that I don't care about. The more that I looked at this group, the more that I was like, well, you know what, I could do something with that person. I could do something with that person. There are a few that, like, you know, Bushwhacker Luke, where I was like, all right, clearly he's not making it past the first round. And then some other people that I was like, all right, clearly they're making it fairly far in the tournament. But I did find myself getting stuck more with, like, balancing out how do I place certain people that I wanted to have way more matches. Like, you know, Randy Orton can have a lot of matches with a lot of people here. That would be a really good match. But you can only have, you know, first round, second round, third round, and then, like, you're pretty much done. So do you sacrifice a big, important person in the first round just to put another person up against a person that you like? Or do you make the judgment call of just sacrificing one of those matches? That was the thing that was really difficult for me. So I felt like I ended up having a pretty good breakdown. We'll find out if you guys agree or disagree and all. Anybody want to volunteer for going first? Or do you guys want me to?
I'm good with you going first.
Callan, you want me or are you?
You can take it. Start with.
Alrighty, so I'm going to put the generic graphic card up on the screen right now so people can't see what my breakdown is. But I will show you guys once I'm done breaking down what this tournament is. We have our brackets all sorted out. I kind of tried to make them look like the old tournaments that we've been doing with, like, the Smart Madness tournament and all. So I do have notes about this of, I don't know how deep you guys got into, like, some story notes, but I have some when it comes to this. But I start things off with Cesaro against the model Rick Martel. And this is just a match that eventually I was like, all right, Rick Martel's not going to be one of the guys that I want to move on to the second round. Cesaro is. And once I started to pair up people for that first round, that was the one that made the most sense to me. I think it's just straight up, I could see that match working out pretty well. No heel and face dynamics really going on for that. That's kind of the case for some of this. Some of them I do have more details to, but Cesaro and Rick Martel, not a bad first opening match. I think even more so, the second match is much better. A real, like, solid mid-card first round type match. Owen Hart defeating Mustafa Ali. Definitely a match I would want to see in the future. You know, for the tournament itself. Obviously, we can't see this in the actual reality, but it would be the type of thing where Mustafa Ali would have a good enough match with Owen that, hey, in the future, you could see maybe Ali getting the win over Owen Hart, but this time around, Owen Hart is victorious, just as Cesaro was. We're setting up those two for round two. Of course, stop me at any point if you have anything to chime in about with any of these. Otherwise, I'll keep going. Tajiri against Andrade.
That's fun. I'd watch that.
Andrade gets the win. Not too shocking there. Rey Mysterio's got a test. Immediately going up against Test. Not one of my more favored matches, but it was one of the leftovers. So Test wasn't somebody I really prioritized, and Rey certainly was. So Rey Mysterio beats Test. Dean Ambrose beats the Warlord. Again, not another great one, but I'm working with the Warlord here.
Yeah, there's similar spots in my opening round where I'm just like, all right, and that is a match that happens.
Yeah, you know, I actually thought about doing something where I would be like, certain people get eliminated in like a special first round and whatever. Then I was like, nah, I'm not going to mess around with that. But here's where we get some story. Ted DiBiase Sr. and Ted DiBiase Jr. are both in my group. And I wanted to play around with that a little bit. My go-to thing with Ted DiBiase is always that he is going to find a way to cheat. And in this tournament, he has paid off whoever is booking the tournament to finagle the card just a little bit in that first round. And he has set himself up to go up against somebody he thinks that he can very easily beat in the first round, and his son to very easily beat somebody in the first round. So the next section of this bracket, Dean Ambrose beating Warlord, is Ted DiBiase Sr. going up against Duke the Dumpster Drossi. The way that he is approaching it, he's like, yeah, give me the garbage man. I can beat the garbage man. I have a much bigger, more important thing for my alternate card for Duke Drossi.
He should have paid off the garbage man.
I mean, I want him to be a babyface, so he's not going to take the money, but he is going to be able to beat Duke the Dumpster Drossi. And then the next match on this is Ted DiBiase Jr. is put up against Bushwhacker Luke. And that is one of those 5-second matches. Luke just loses. And one match after another, you just go, okay, the DiBiases are going to get to a weird spot in this tournament. But they didn't realize that they're close to the same spot of the bracket. They're not on the opposite sides of the bracket. More on that later. And then there's on the final part of the left-hand side of the bracket, Luke Harper against Kevin Owens. I don't remember if we've actually seen that match, have we?
I feel like they had to, but I can't recall.
It seems like they would have potentially, but that they could have just been like both heels at the same time and never crossed paths or something. I don't know. I do think that it could be a really solid match.
I can't recall one off the top of my head, so.
Yeah. Not a priority match, but when I had, you know, Kevin Owens with like Harper and Test and a few of the other Warlord, I was like, all right, well, no, Owens and Harper, I think that they could work really well together. I did plan on having Randy Orton against D'Lo Brown in the first round, and it's for basically one reason: D'Lo's head movement and the RKO. I don't know what they would do. I would trust them to figure it out, but you got to do something with D'Lo bouncing his head back around and Randy Orton hitting an RKO. So
that tickles me. Thank you.
I couldn't figure out anything else for D'Lo Brown to do in this tournament. And if I'm going to have him go out in the first round, he's going to go out with maybe Randy Orton punts him and his head goes flying, theoretically. You know, I am a big fan of putting Jake the Snake Roberts up against Goldust in this first round. And the more that I thought about it, I ended up deciding to go with heel Jake Roberts against babyface Goldust. And I think Jake Roberts as a heel, being able to talk about the Goldust character and make him even more sympathetic would be in a lot of ways more interesting to me than if it was heel Goldust against babyface Jake. I like rude, brutal, dissecting the psychology Jake Roberts. And I like, a little bit of like the fanciful Goldust. So Jake the Snake Roberts gets the win over Goldust on this one. Saddened me to knock Goldust out in the first round, but that's just how the cards fall sometimes. Then we got this next group is not my necessarily favorite group, but we've got Babyface Rock against heel Baron Corbin. I do think that they could work well together, and I am an apologist when it comes to Baron Corbin. So I would be more interested in this match than you guys would, but it wasn't like my go-to match. But I want to stress that it's Babyface Rock against heel Corbin, and The Rock, of course, wins. I mean, it's The Rock. And the next group in this bracket is Sika against Rikishi. And The Rock looks at the bracket and he goes, Well, goddamn. We already have two of our family members going up against each other in the first round. One of you two is going to have to fight me the next round, too. The three of us should be on three opposite sides of the bracket. This is ridiculous. And they would have been if it hadn't have been for Ted DiBiase screwing things up a little bit. So The Rock is, of course, naturally like, all right, well, Rikishi, Sika, go out there, make the family proud, and I'll see whoever in the next round. Between Sika and Rikishi, we're going to go with Rikishi. So we're going to get set up for The Rock against Rikishi in round two. We have Daniel Bryan against Bob Backlund. Self-explanatory.
Like two people from, like just two carbon copies from different eras, pretty much.
Yeah.
Certain-wise.
And two completely lunatic wrestlers. Backlund is certainly the heel. Daniel Bryan is the one of the perennial baby faces in this tournament. And Backlund is like the whole like, well, listen here, you youngster, you know, I can get you in the crossface chicken wing. And Daniel Bryan's like, well, I'm a vegan. So, you
know. Well, I'm a vegan. Can we let's dissect that a little bit. Exactly why? Why is that his answer?
Why not? So Daniel Bryan is able to get the victory over Bob Backlund. And next round, he is going to go up against the winner of Pedro Morales and William Regal. This little quadrant of this bracket is like, all right, this is the wrestler section in a lot of ways. And between William Regal and Pedro Morales, I'm going to go William Regal, setting up William Regal against Daniel Bryan in round two.
I like it.
And then rounding it out on the final bottom right-hand corner of this quadrant, we have kind of the big dudes against each other. So we have Kane against Atom Bomb. And I'm picturing Kane here as, like, masked Kane. Like, maybe 2000 or so. We didn't really specify ahead of time, like, what... Yeah, if we're like sticking to exactly the characters when they were in the King of the Ring tournaments, and some of them have been in multiple tournaments and all, but I figured, you know, we're applying the same rules as we normally do, where it's like, yeah, you can play around with like history and timelines and stuff. So I'm going Masked Kane, babyface mode, and Atom Bomb, more of the heel Atom Bomb, where you could take him a little bit more seriously. Even though I am from that generation where I would have loved to catch one of the little bombs that he would have thrown out. So Kane beats Atom Bomb. I don't think that that's that much of a surprise. And the final match of round one is Vader going over Tatanka. Tatanka was somebody I thought about giving a second round victory for. And the more that I planned this out, the more I was just like, there's bigger fish to fry. So he'd put up a fight against Vader, but he comes up short. And that's round one. Out of the whole thing.
Good opening round. You know, I think you're doing the best with what you have, especially, you know, you looked at it differently because we saw a guy like Tajiri and we would have liked to have Tajiri, and you were like, yeah, he's probably losing fairly early.
Yeah.
So I think you did the best with what you could.
Yeah, there are some good matches potential there, like the Hart and Mr. Farley, Roberts and Goldust. So there are some good marquee matches at the very least in the first round where you could kind of see it going either way. But yeah, it's pretty obvious which 16 that you were prioritizing.
Funny enough, a few of them, like I'll spoil this. Rikishi was one that was very close to being cut in the first round. Andrade was very close to being cut in the first round. And there was a time frame when those two were replaced by Backlund. They were replaced by Goldust. I had a version of this where the setup at the end with like Kane and Atom Bomb and Vader and Tatanka were kind of switched up a little bit, but I ended up having to settle on this for a different reason. So round two comes around and we're back to the beginning of this. Matches, of course, don't necessarily have to go in this specific order, but, you know, that's easier for me to keep track of where I'm going. And this is where we start getting into some of the really, like, okay, this is where I needed to go. Cesaro versus Owen Hart.
That's a match that I think we'd all enjoy.
Mm.
There is no way that match wouldn't be phenomenal. Babyface Cesaro, heel Owen Hart. You got Cesaro tossing Owen around like crazy. I'm assuming Cesaro would be able to do some, you know, 50 spin rotation thing for his Cesaro swing. And, you know, he flings Owen Hart into the, you know, slingshots him into the ropes and stuff. And Owen's just like selling like crazy. But this is Owen Hart. And Owen Hart's one of my favorites of all time. So he is going to figure out a way to do some kind of a roll up or some kind of a, his foot's on the ropes or something like that. And he beats Cesaro, moving on to round three. Andrade and Rey Mysterio, round two. Match we haven't really seen in like their primes by any means. I'm leaning more towards Andrade's heel. Tajiri probably would have been a babyface first round. Babyface, Rey Mysterio, of course, just, you know, it's Rey Mysterio. He's going to be babyface. And Rey Mysterio comes out on top of Andrade, setting up Owen versus Andrade, Owen versus Rey in the next round.
Yeah. that's certainly a match.
The type of thing where Owen squeaked out the victory over Cesaro, and then he sees over the next thing, he's like, God damn it, I've got Rey Mysterio. I don't know about you guys, if you planned on this being like a one night tournament thing. I kind of took it as like it's a multiple day thing, but
it's impossible to do it in one day.
Yeah, I mean, there's the 32 bracket thing is lots of matches, so.
I took it as the weeks long tournament leading to the finals.
Yeah, that's probably so how
I go. I think I might be the only one who did this, but I do have the semifinal matches and the finals on the pay-per-view, but the actual tournament is a week-long thing.
So round two has gotten us Ted DiBiase Sr. beating Duke the Dumpster Drosy. And when he figured out this plan of buying his way into an easy way through the tournament, he didn't really read the fine print. $1 million man's like, oh, you know, everybody's got a price. Ha ha ha. My son and I have Bushwhacker Luke and Duke the Dumpster, and that's great. We're going to just breeze through this tournament. He didn't realize that he's up against Dean Ambrose in round two. Because there's no way that you can just rig the entire tournament. The good guys beat people in the first round, and then you are stuck having to fight at least one of them. So it's like, all right, are you going to go up against Andrade, Rey? Are you going to go against Cesaro, Owen, Randy, etc.? So he's stuck against Dean Ambrose. And Ted DiBiase Sr. is able to beat Dean Ambrose. It's a little bit of a, you know, a dicey situation, but Ambrose is babyface, and Ted DiBiase is able to either pay the referee a little bit, or he's able to do something dastardly where it's like, oh, okay, DiBiase had a hill to climb, and he still managed to figure out a way to do it. Ambrose is pissed. Fans are upset. They're like, man, this DiBiase just took out one of our favorites to win this. How great would it have been if we had Dean Ambrose versus Owen Hart in a future round? Well, you're not going to get it anymore. Ha 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 ha. $1 million man is victorious here. But Ted DiBiase Jr. is going up against Kevin Owens. And he's not as fortunate. Kevin Owens is able to see that kind of thing coming, hit a stunner, and he beats Ted DiBiase Jr., setting up Ted DiBiase Sr. against Kevin Owens in round three. Now there's an axe to grind. Moving over to... Yep. Okay.
I was going to say...
Yep. I lost you there.
DiBiase versus DiBiase. Oh, I was wondering whether you were going to go into the DiBiase-DiBiase route.
I thought about it, and then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I don't know how to book that without it just being like, all right, Ted Jr. just takes a pinfall. Yeah, we're gonna get some more Ted DiBiase action in round three. First off, we have to do Randy Orton versus Jake Roberts. Babyface Randy Orton, heel Jake Roberts. It's the Viper against the Snake. I knew I was gonna book this in some way, and decided instead of going babyface Jake and heel Randy, that it would be more fun to be able to see Jake pull something out of Randy that we haven't been able to see yet. We haven't had babyface Randy go up against somebody like Jake Roberts as a heel. I think that could be a really interesting feud. Of course, push comes to shove, Randy Orton's going to get the win over here because he's Randy Orton and Jake the Snake Roberts does not have the pedigree that he does. But this would be the type of thing where it's like, all right, that feud is certainly not over with either. Jake now has an axe to grind as well against Randy Orton.
I like that. And Jake and Randy is the kind of thing that if Jake would have been healthy, you know they would have done.
Oh, if they could have with the Legend Killer thing? Yeah. Whew.
Yeah.
Now, the Bloodline has their unfortunate thing. You can't even have The Rock against Rikishi on the opposite sides of the bracket. They are coming up on round two. And you got Babyface Rock and you got Babyface Rikishi going up against each other. They don't want to go up against each other, but they have to. And The Rock and Rikishi is...
Wait, hold on. Can I guess this? Does Rikishi lay down and do it for The Rock?
Rikishi doesn't lay down. But The Rock does give him sort of a backstage thing where he goes, look, Randy Orton's who we got the next round. Who do you think could be Randy Orton? For the betterment of our bloodline, we know what has to happen here.
I'm sorry, did you say Rock was a babyface? That doesn't sound very babyface.
That's the thing. That's the thing, because full-on babyface Rock against heel Corbin the first round, as soon as he sees the Seek and Rikishi thing and sees he's going up against Rikishi, he's just like, listen, oos. maybe you want to make this a little bit easier for all of us. Now, Rikishi is not interested in just laying down. The Rock is not that obvious either. And The Rock is able to beat Rikishi. But now he's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit unsettled. He's like, you made me have to beat you. Well, that's kind of annoying. Okay. We'll keep that in mind. Daniel Bryan had beaten Bob Backlund. William Regal beat Pedro Morales. So we got Daniel Bryan versus William Regal. Self-explanatory again. Daniel Bryan's victorious.
That sounds right to me.
And then we have Kane against Vader. Now this is like peak babyface Kane against what I would hope to be biggest monster heel Vader, unstoppable Vader. And one of my favorite versions of Kane, he wasn't babyface really at this point, but one of my favorite versions of Kane is, I'm forgetting exactly when it happened, but the event where Kane, for a while they had been having all the people in the, the shock collars and like the cattle prods and stuff come out and like chase Kane. It was like 98, I think.
It was 99 because it happened in the 99 Royal Rumble.
The Royal Rumble
match. So it was going not like 98 into 99 because the 99 Royal Rumble. I remember that because it's the worst Royal Rumble. Well, it's one of the worst Royal Rumbles in history.
Yeah.
And Kane comes out, clears house, and then he eliminates himself to go after all of the orderlies that are trying to chase him.
Yeah. So I always thought the 99 Royal Rumble is like one of the most ridiculous ones. I absolutely am not a big fan of it, but I always liked that whole Kane being chased out by like the orderlies type of thing. And in this one, Kane and Vader fight in a way that everything goes crazy. You've got the big Mastodon against the big red machine, and the orderlies are out there to try to sort everything out. And it ends in a double disqualification or a double count out, whichever one you want to go with. Same deal. And everybody is watching going, okay, shit, what does this mean? Does that mean that Daniel Bryan gets a bye in round three? Because he was supposed to go up against the winner of Kane and Vader. More on that. And that's round two. Round three comes back round. Owen Hart had beaten Cesaro. So we got Owen Hart versus Rey Mysterio. Cannot imagine that wouldn't be an instant classic.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, if Owen would have just, you know, if it doesn't happen the way it does, probably would have seen that in 2002.
And it probably would have been, like, a multi-feud or a multi-match feud. It would have been one of those, like, yeah, crap, put them against each other now type of thing. Ray is perennially the small guy. Owen usually was not the big guy in any kind of a match, but he would get a chance to play the more power game in this one. And Ray and Owen would be one of the standout matches for this, for sure, for me. And Owen Hart, again, squeaks out a victory. He does something or other. He gets out of the 619, whatever it is that he manages to do. Owen Hart has beaten Rick Mustafa Ali, Cesaro, and Rey Mysterio. And you're like, wow, man, King of Hearts. He's pulling it off. Other round three match, you got Ted DiBiase Sr. up against the guy who beat Ted DiBiase Jr., Kevin Owens. And Ted DiBiase at this point is saying, all right, well, my game plan is clearly I'm going to have Ted DiBiase Jr. come out and screw over Kevin Owens. Son, you need to do this for me. You need to do this for the family. But Dean Ambrose comes and screws over Ted DiBiase Jr. from helping out with that. It's a little bit
That's family talk on your
it's all about family. I finally watched the first Fast and Furious movie the other day, so
I want that to be true. Is that true?
Yes, yes, I did. I finally watched that on Saturday, and that movie is so stupid, and I already downloaded all of the other ones to watch. So Ted DiBiase Sr. is so distracted with Dean Ambrose's interference offsetting Ted DiBiase Jr. that Kevin Owens gets a stunner off, and Kevin Owens has beaten Ted DiBiase Sr. Owens and Ambrose do their little, you know, haha. Both the DiBiases are gone from this tournament. And they are livid, of course. We got Randy Orton versus The Rock. Hey, Randy, I respect you. You respect me. Let's go out there and put on a hell of a show. Meanwhile, The Rock is at the last round. You're kind of like, guy's kind of a dick. And Randy Orton puts up a hell of a fight against The Rock, who low blows him and beats Randy Orton.
I don't like that.
The Rock has now turned officially heel in this tournament.
I don't know. I don't like a world where, like, this match happens and Randy's not absolutely trying to kill The Rock. I get it, but I'm just saying it throws me off. But it's in a good way. I see where you're going.
It was one of two options for me. Either I swap Randy Orton or I swap Kevin Owens. And it would have been potentially Rock and Owens. And then Orton and Owen. Thought about going that way. Eventually decided it hurts more if The Rock beats Randy in round three. And full-blown heel Rock is moving on to the semifinals. Daniel Bryan is out there going, Kane and Vader fought to a double DQ. What do I do? And suddenly it gets announced there is a replacement. Nobody will have a bye in this tournament. Kane and Vader fought like savages, and they got themselves both taken out. Well, somebody has purchased their way into filling their spot.
Wait, nobody can have a bye, but people can buy their way in?
You can buy in. Ted DiBiase Sr. comes down with Ted DiBiase Jr., and they have their little, like, Ted DiBiase Jr. thinks that it's like, okay, dad's buying me that spot. And he's like, okay, son, be ringside for me. And Junior's like, wait, what? Because just one of those, like, yeah, even family doesn't apply when it comes to that. So Ted DiBiase Sr. is now back in the tournament going up against Daniel Bryan, who beats him.
Good.
And Ted DiBiase is just like, well, what the fuck, man? Like, I rigged this, I did that, I cheated this, I figured out my way to be back in here. Yeah, Daniel Bryan's a babyface. He's going to end up getting the win over here. And that is the end of what Ted DiBiase is going to be in this tournament. You will not get another chance to be in this. There is no bye in a second time around. No double blind buy-in or something like that, which means that our semifinals is between Owen Hart versus Kevin Owens and a full-blown now heel Rock against even more of a babyface Daniel Bryan. Owen Hart versus Kevin Owens goes down. Hell of a match. Match I would love to have seen. You've got some issues with Ted DiBiase Sr. and Jr. and all like that, but they don't even need to necessarily come out in here because Owen Hart still cheats to win. And Owen Hart is in your finals.
You know, it's very clear, like, as subtle as it is, your influences, they do shine through. Like, you have King of Hearts, Owen. You basically have The Rock doing the Survivor Series 98. I'm going to turn heel mid-tournament. I like it. It's very you.
I think it would have been a shame that if you'd hadn't done some matchup between Kevin Owens and Owen Hart, considering that is what Kevin Owens is, what part of his character and his name is based on. So it's important to put those ones together. I don't know whether I would have liked it a bit more if, like, Owen didn't have to cheat to win, but maybe it could be one of those things that, like, Owen cheats to beat Owens, and then he's like, "Ah, you got me," that kind of reaction, rather than, like, be pissed off about it.
I figure Owen,
like, he respects it.
Owen's not the type of cheater that he would do, like, the low blow like The Rock does, but he does, like, hold the tights, or something where you kind of go, like, you little weasel kind of a thing, you know. Now, The Rock, full-blown heel, going up against babyface Daniel Bryan. At this point, everybody is fully against The Rock, and Daniel Bryan, long and short of it, gets the win to set up Daniel Bryan against Owen Hart in the finals. And then they just go with what it is. I mean, it's King of the Ring. Two people that would put up more of an in-ring competition. And The Rock is, you know, I mean, The Rock is a bigger deal than Owen Hart, but that would have been more of the sports entertainment spectacle guy against the wrestler. And I wanted wrestler against wrestler. So Owen Hart against Daniel Bryan. Owen Hart cheats. And he gets caught. Referee's like, no, you're not going to do that. Daniel Bryan ends up getting the victory. Daniel Bryan is your King of the Ring, beating the King of Hearts.
I like it. This is a fake world, so what I'm about to say doesn't matter. But, you know, history shows us babyface kings don't normally go very far, but for a straight-up pure King of the Ring tournament, this was a very fun ride.
People can see some notes on the side here. DiBiase getting involved in certain things. Some of them I changed around a little bit. Some of them I didn't. I figured I'd keep the original notes up there. But I wanted to prioritize. I looked at, like, the people on this list, and I was like, all right, who can have some of the best matches with everybody? Bryan and Owen are definitely two of the top ones. So then I started to try to go, how many people can I put up against them? So you got Owen against Mustafa Ali, Cesaro, Mysterio, Owens, and Bryan, who also goes up against, you know, Ted DiBiase, William Regal, Bob Backlund. And even though I wasn't the biggest fan of Daniel Bryan versus The Rock, there wasn't a better option that I had. Like, once you start mapping out your bracket, you kind of end up having, like, sometimes you get to a spot where you're like, all right, it's got to be that person against that person. Figured I'd get some storyline in there. I got some babyface turns. I got some, you know, Kane and Vader knocking themselves out in round two. A little bit of surprise there. Totally different setup for some of this in my 16-man bracket, which we'll take care of on the Darkcast.
Yeah, it was a very interesting tournament. I think that if I had one major criticism, I feel like, I know you wanted to get to the Owen and Owen Hart and Daniel Bryan match, which I totally understand, But I think having The Rock turn heel in the quarterfinals and then lose in the semifinals kind of undercuts the heel turn.
I get that, yeah.
So that would be my one kind of area of criticism. It just feels like, okay, you've just turned him heel and then he's immediately lost in the next round. I think he would need, you'd need to... I'd say, if Randy Orton like gets involved and screws him out of it, and that's fine, and you can move into like a big feud between those two. But I think other than that, it would come across a little bit. Okay, that's like a big moment that's immediately like slightly watered down by the fact that he just lost straight away.
I do have my original note was that Orton costs The Rock against Bryan. Mm.
So I mean that's fine then if you then do that and then you can build a feud between Orton and The Rock that moves beyond that point. But that's just one little nitpick, I'd say.
Alrighty, so that's my 32 man. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Alrighty, I'll switch you over to the blank section where people can't see your bracket quite yet. There you go.
All right, so I want to start off by saying, because I did do a card for King of the Ring pay-per-view, this is a tournament not only for King of the Ring, but you are the true king, because this will crown the vacant WWE champion. So all the men in this tournament, extra incentive to do well, to win, you know, because you're not just getting a crown, you're getting the actual title. But as I mentioned, it was hard for me to do the opening round because I had people like Johnny Valiant and I had the Berserker. But all things considered, I think I put them into fun spots, so I'm just going to start reading these off with the most boring match, getting it out of the way, because it's Johnny Valiant, Roddy Piper, and Piper just wins with the sleeper hold. Valiant, you know, this would have been a 1980s WWF match. Nothing too flashy. Up next, we have Edge, who was on the History Channel show Vikings, taking on the Berserker. And Edge wins. Edge is also one half of your WWE Tag Team Champions, but that doesn't necessarily matter for this tournament. Next, we have King Kong Bundy and the Great Khali. In what I was originally going to have be a double count buy, but the more I played around with this tournament, buys didn't really work, so King Kong Bundy is the better worker. King Kong Bundy goes over Khali in what I'm sure is the worst match of this tournament.
Of all time.
Maybe. This one would have laxed rules. It's not the only match in the tournament that would, but for obvious reasons, probably a no DQ situation. Jeff Hardy against Raven. And Jeff Hardy gets the win, advancing to the next round. Then we have a fun wrestling.
I'm surprised Raven knocked down the first round.
Yeah, you seem quite excited when you got Raven, and then you just take him out straight away.
You know, because I did work backwards, and the way I was playing around with it, Jeff Hardy's actually going to go really, really far. Cedric Alexander takes on Chris Jericho in the next round. Really fun wrestling match. Think of, like, remember when Jericho came back to do nothing but house shows in, like, 2014 or something? That's this Jericho. That's the style he brings to this match. Like, or I guess Lionheart, what he does on AEW. And Cedric is at his peak here. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And Jericho gets the win. Jericho, by the way, tag team champions with Edge. Next match is Ilya Dragunov against Bad News Brown in what I would assume would just be a really hard-hitting match. And even though nobody thinks about Bad News this way, Bad News is actually a really great wrestler. Like, he was, you know, in Stampede. He was in Japan. He helped guys like, you know, Dynamite get over, Brett get over, Benoit get over. So I think he'd have a lot of fun with Ilya Dragunov. And Dragunov does go over and into the next round to face Chris Jericho. Next match, we've got Elias, accompanied by his groupie, Alex Riley, who will also be in the tournament. And he takes on Finn Balor, and Finn Balor gets the win over Elias. Because, damn it, Elias isn't going too far. Next match, we have Gunther taking on the Hurricane. This is fun because to Gunther, the mat is sacred, and Hurricane's a superhero. And try as he might, Hurricane doesn't get too far because Gunther all but squashes him to advance to the next round to take on Finn Balor.
I'd love to see the chokeslam spot for that.
Yeah, that's kind of a lot of what I was thinking. There's a lot of like, just, okay, we're getting to one spot here, or there's a very specific, obviously I had to put these two together. For example, Brock Lesnar is going to destroy Mark Marrow, guys.
I wonder why.
You know, Sable is not anywhere near, but it's obvious who the to the victor goes the spoils, and the victor is obviously Brock Lesnar. Yokozuna, in what is definitely the quickest match in the tournament, squashes former referee Danny Davis real quick, throws him in the corner, hip attack, bonsai, 1, 2, 3, we're out of there. See you bye, Danny Davis. I pretty much knew as soon as I got him that, okay, you're going to die. Like, Yokozuna's just going to squash you as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's pretty much like, what I would do.
I got like a, maybe they could do, you could do some sort of silly thing where Yokozuna doesn't know who his opponent is, and there's a referee in the ring, and then the referee just starts attacking him because it's Danny Davis instead. And then the other referee comes out to actually officiate the match, and then Yokozuna just destroys him. But that's a way for him to get a slight advantage to start with by pretending to be the referee.
I would love that.
And he goes after the other referee.
And I think you have to play along with that because it's just an easy win for Yoko, and it's a good time. And I like Yoko a lot. You know, in my mind, this is Yoko when he could still move really, really well, probably 93-ish. And he's one of the better big men that you never really hear about because his era is that, like, really short era where WWE just kind of sucks. Then we get some... This is a more straightforward match. It's Sami Zayn defeating the Barbarian. You know, Barbarian probably puts up a good fight, but Sami Zayn's going to go a little further in this tournament, so Sami has to get the win. And it's nothing against Barbarian. Like, I didn't feel about him the way Tony probably felt about the Warlord, but he definitely wasn't going to go too far.
I'll spoil that. Barbarian was basically given Warlord treatment in my versions of your card.
Next we have Paul Orndorff taking on the groupie Alex Riley, and with the help of Elias, Alex Riley advances to the next round.
That I'm very surprised about. Not only as I'm surprised that Alex Riley is the groupie of Elias, and not only am I surprised that he's moving on to the next round instead of Raven, but that he is up against Paul Orndorff, of all people.
So you're going with babyface Paul Orndorff then?
Yeah, which is fine
because Paul Orndorff was for a long time like second only to Hulk Hogan in the kind of babyface rankings.
If you've ever seen the greatest commercial of all time, the Hulk Hogan workout tape, which does not feature Hulk Hogan, it's Paul Orndorff telling the kids, hey, let's all do our Hulk Hogan workouts. That's the kind of Paul Orndorff I'm thinking of here when he's losing to a heel Alex Riley. Then we start getting into, I definitely wanted to see these matches. So we had Terry Funk taking on Farouk. And in my mind, I'm like, these two would probably beat the holy hell out of each other. And in my universe, Farouk had a Nation of Domination. It is now dissolved. But Farouk is also the Intercontinental Champion. And I can imagine Farouk, Nation of Domination Farouk, cutting some scathing promos on the Texas Rancher, Terry Funk. That's kind of what I'm envisioning.
I see where you're going there.
And Terry Funk gets the win. And Booker T actually helped... distracts Farouk because Booker T was a former NOD member. They're now feuding, and Booker T helps Terry Funk get to the next round. In the next round, he will be taking on Jerry the King Lawler, who gets by Kamala. Nah.
did he draw a banana on him?
I was gonna say, like, you said, like, so you basically intimated about the sort of promos that Fruit would be cutting towards Terry Funk, and then you had the white guy beat him, and then you have Jerry Lawler do stuff to do with Kamala as well. So it's basically
now I will admit,
you're always keeping the man down.
I nearly had Farouk against Kamala, and I was gonna have Farouk do a whole, you know, why are you letting him do this to you? And if Kamala would kind of forfeit and have Farouk go to the next round, but I didn't want to do the Terry Funk Farouk thing in the next round because I was pretty sure where I wanted to go. But Kamala, this is probably babyface, like, not with Slick because Slick isn't on my roster, but that's probably the era Kamala we're getting, and we're getting heel king here. But next match we're going to go to is Jerry Lawler, Terry Funk in the next round, because obviously there's so much history there. But before that, we got to close out this first round here. Steve Austin takes on Hawk. I mean, honestly, it's just a barroom brawl. You know, a quick sprint, but Austin's going to get the win with the stunner.
No beer action going on there.
No. I think we're not going to repeat the actions of 2002 with Scott Hall. We're just going to skip the beer. And Booker T will take on the spoiler in what would be a standard, like, territory kind of, okay, send the big man with the mask out against the babyface. Booker T is going to get the win. Next round, he's going to take on Stone Cold Steve Austin. And kind of like Tony, I do have to say, I felt this as well. The second round is where I really started to go, all right, I'm either doing matches I definitely want to do, or setting up matches that I definitely want to get to. So back to the other side of the bracket, we have Piper taking on Edge, which awesome. One of the first matches I was like, this has to get done, because they never did this, but this would have been so much fun. And it's like 89 babyface Piper, but Piper's still great. Like, think about the match he had with Brett in 92. You know, think about all the stuff he did with Rick Rude in 89. Like, that's what you're getting here against, you know, peak Edge for me is like 2007, 2008. And Edge is going to squeak by him, likely through cheating. But I imagine that would have been a very fun TV match. What about you guys?
Oh, I mean, Edge and Piper is a part of one of my things for you. So, yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's... That'd be a very fun match. I've always kind of, like, with the people that you have, I always lean towards Piper and Jericho as more comparable than Piper and Edge, but Edge is definitely high up there in terms of someone to go up against him.
See, I thought about Piper and Jericho, and then I thought, you know, they kind of interacted on screen. I want to do something that they haven't done. And speaking of things that nobody probably ever did, it's King Kong Bundy against Jeff Hardy. Bundy is absolutely going to play the monster heel, and I imagine the ending here would come with, like, Bundy charging in for an avalanche, Jeff moves, Bundy hits the post, Jeff hits Whisper in the Wind and gets kind of like a roll-up victory out of Whisper in the Wind, you know, and Jeff Hardy's super babyface. Obviously, guys, not modern day Jeff Hardy. This is probably also, you know, 2007, 2008, really peak, like, babyface Jeff Hardy, and everybody's behind him and wants to see him win the King of the Ring. And this is a match I'd like to see before one of these two men retires. It's Chris Jericho and Ilya Dragunov. And I can't imagine a world unless they're just completely off their game or something where this isn't one of the best matches ever. Like, Jericho and Dragunov would have so much fun, and I'm gonna put Dragunov over here. But Jericho, you know, he would have put up a great fight, and he's tag team champion, so he'll have a spot on pay-per-view no matter what.
I'm surprised Jericho doesn't go over there.
No, I like it. There should be some surprise results.
Yeah. You're not gonna be surprised for like 20 more seconds, because the next match is Finn Balor against Gunther, and Finn Balor tries his hardest and puts up a great fight against Gunther. I'm thinking, like, peak NXT against Owens, against Joe Balor here, against Gunther. And Gunther manages to squeak out the win with Powerbomb, and that sends him into the quarterfinals against Ilya Dragunov. Well, that sends Finn Balor's got to figure out something else to do at the pay-per-view.
Balor against Gunther, totally down for that. I would have, there part of me would have been like, oh man, I kind of want to see Jericho versus Gunther, but heel versus heel, and I see where you're going, so I get it.
Yeah. And now over on the other side of the bracket, it's Brock Lesnar against Yokozuna in what I would imagine would be one of the most fun matches, because it's Yoko when he can still move, and Brock had a fun match with Omos, where it was just like, well, can he fucking lift him? All right, I guess he can, and that's basically what you're going to get here, where it's a fictional world, so Brock Lesnar is going to get Yokozuna up for the F5 somehow and not break the ring. I would love to see this. I think, you know, Brock had a lot of fun with the Bloodline guys, and Yokozuna is a great worker. I think there's a world where if you get these two in the right spot, it would have been a lot of fun.
Sad to see Yoko go so early, but at the same time, you gotta knock people out every round, so, you know.
Go ahead. Were you going to say something, Gal?
Well, I was going to say that I could see Lesnar F5-ing Yokozuna. I could not see him German suplexing Yokozuna. Because I just don't think he'd be able to wrap his arms around him.
You know, that's a good point. I don't know. We did see him F5 the Big Show, so it probably can be done. Next round is going to be Sami Zayn taking on and defeating Alex Riley. This is just a vehicle. I'm not going to lie to you, folks. This is just a vehicle to get to Brock Lesnar and Sami Zayn. Alex Riley, I gave him the groupie gimmick because I think that's what he did best when he was like Miz's. I have a briefcase. It's no longer Money in the Bank, but it's a briefcase and I'm holding it. Like, that's kind of what I think Riley did best. I think he could have had an okay match with Sami Zayn, but definitely not the highlight of the tournament. This would be one of them, for me at least, because it's Terry Funk against Jerry Lawler, and if you're any kind of historian, if you're any kind of, let me check out the territory, specifically the Memphis territory, you know, Terry Funk and Jerry Lawler have a lot of fun beating the shit out of each other, and that's kind of what you'll get here. It's not completely the empty arena brawl with the my eye, but it's Funk and Lawler, and I'd have a lot of fun watching them beat the crap out of each other.
So, Funk and good match?
It's a Funk and good match. Same thing here. It's babyface, babyface. It's not in a grocery store, but I'd still have a lot of fun watching Booker T and Stone Cold Steve Austin have a nice little TV match with each other. I imagine the finish here is Booker gets Austin down, maybe hits scissors kick, does the spinner Rooney, showboats for too long, Austin's up, double bird, kick to the gut, stunner, Austin's going, at least to the next round, where he will take on Terry Funk. Now, in the third round, we're getting largely matches that we've seen before on the other side. Obviously, there's just straight up two matches that we've seen before. It's Edge and Jeff Hardy. And I never watched a bad match between them. You know, like, I especially thought their 09 stuff, which is the era I'm thinking of here, was really, really good. And, you know, Edge tries to cheat, but at the end of the day, Jeff Hardy gets him. Twist of Fate, Swanton Bomb. Jeff Hardy's going to the semifinals. And he's one step closer to the world, to the WWE Championship. In that same vein, we have Ilya Dragunov against Gunther. And I mean, the fact that we're not getting this in the semifinals of the real King of the Ring tournament pisses me off. But we'll get it here, and it is what these two do. It's a fantastic match. I watched them have a great match in front of nobody. I can't wait to watch it again. And Gunther's obviously going to your semifinals to take on Jeff Hardy. Over on the other side of the bracket, a similar match to Gunther and Jeff Hardy in terms of styles, but the morality, the morality's kind of flipped because Brock's babyface, but and so is Sami Zayn, so it's not as much of a throwdown because Brock is more that ambiguous cowboy Brock, like I'm just here to beat people up and, you know, get paid. But it's Brock Lesnar, Sami Zayn. I can't imagine a world again where this isn't one of the most fun matches you can have, with like Sami Zayn trying his hardest, hitting Huluva kicks, and Brock just doesn't stay down. F5, and he will get Sami Zayn and go on to the semifinals, where he will face either Terry Funk or Stone Cold Steve Austin. You can't tell me Terry Funk and Stone Cold Steve Austin, if you can have them both in their prime, wouldn't be the most fun knockdown, drag out, Texas death match, you know, kind of fight. And that's what I'm imagining here. But of course, I was obviously going to book Stone Cold Steve Austin against Brock Lesnar at some point in this tournament. And that's what you're getting in your semifinals, because Austin makes it past Terry Funk.
I'll say Austin and Funk is something in one of my things as well for you.
Brock Lesnar, Steve Austin. This is these next matches all take place at the actual pay-per-view. I'll start with Gunther and Hardy, because that would actually open the show outside of the kickoff. And Gunther and Jeff Hardy, it's kind of like, again, Jeff Hardy's super babyface. He's trying and he's doing everything he can. He's running on the guardrail. He's throwing everything he's got at Gunther, but Gunther eventually gets him up for an avalanche powerbomb, and that does Jeff Hardy in after a really great tournament run. Gunther's going to the WWE Championship match against either Stone Cold or Brock Lesnar, and Lesnar and Austin should have happened. It should have happened like years ago when they were teasing it for that one Mania. Austin would absolutely stomp a mud hole and Lesnar walk it dry. He would hit him with stunners. But Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants to do. And there's no way Brock Lesnar's not just going to drop Austin on his head as many times as he needs to before he gets to the finals of this thing. And Brock Lesnar is taking on Gunther in your WWE Championship finals for the King of the Ring tournament, where I'm... Of all the stupid shit with Lesnar in the last few months, my biggest heartbreak is that we don't get this match. Gunther and Brock Lesnar should have happened. And this is where Gunther beats his final boss. And Gunther becomes your new WWE champion and the King of the Ring after defeating Hurricane, Balor, Dragunov, Jeff Hardy, and Brock Lesnar in the finals. And that is my 32-man tournament.
Big fan of a lot of the matches that are out here. I mean, you can't go wrong with anybody that you put up against Gunther. I would be down to see every single one of those. You needed to do Gunther and Brock. You had to do Brock and Austin. My biggest surprises, though, would be the amount of matches that we've seen before, like Austin and Booker, as opposed to doing, like, say, Austin and Lawler, and then Funk and Booker. Or
I did want to get to Austin and Lawler, but again, like that would have taken away from Terry Funk and Lawler. And granted, that there's a few matches on my tournament that are very well, we've seen it before, but I also went with, yeah, I'm not just gonna move Danny Davis far in this thing because it's unexpected. You know, I thought if we've seen it and it works, should probably keep it.
I like that you put Lesnar up against Morrow.
Yeah.
And I'm not to spoil my version of your card and stuff, but did you have the same, like, the problem being if you've got Yokozuna, Kamala, Brock, Gunther, King Kong Bundy, and Great Khali?
I'll just say this. There is a match on this card called the Berserkers Over the Top Rope Challenge, which is just Khali, Kamala, Berserker, Bundy, Yoko, and Barbarian. It's essentially a Big Man buffet.
Yeah. That Big Man buffet is so easy to throw out there, isn't it?
It really is. There's a lot of just tickle butt on my actual card because there was just a lot of fun, silly characters I ended up with. So I actually really enjoyed this process of booking these guys together. And there were several matches on my tournament that I really wish we could have just seen in real life.
Yeah, I mean, I find a lot of these a lot of fun. I would really enjoy to see another iteration of the Terry Funk, Jerry Lawler stuff. And then brilliant Steve Austin, you basically just got like the Texas Brawling section of your bracket right there. I think the Alex Riley advancing is pretty unforgivable.
yeah, I get that. I do. But, you know, honestly, he went up against Paul Orndorff, and it was just sort of like, these guys are for the way that I'm using them, they're going to be interchangeable because it's going to be Sami Zayn, Brock Lesnar. And that's what we're getting.
Well, it's interchangeable in the way that, like, yeah, Sami Zayn's going to win, but it's not interchangeable in the fact of, well, he could wrestle Paul Orndorff, he could wrestle Alex Riley. And I think I know what 99% of wrestlers would probably say in that circumstance.
I mean,
the level of disrespect, even your card, you spelt him Paul Orndorff instead of Paul Orndorff.
I sure did. That's awesome.
But yeah, so that'd be, again, another like little nitpick on that one. But yeah, between things like Dragon and Gunther together, having Jeff Hardy go on a run, I think it's good to have like a guy that's maybe a bit more unexpected to get through to like the semi-finals, which I've kind of taken an approach with my one as well. Or, well, maybe not my 32-man one, but when I went and worked on like a 16-man version of it, that was kind of one of my approaches to that as well. So, but yeah, I think overall it looks pretty good.
Is there anything that like you thought for sure you would see that you just didn't?
I thought Raven going into the second round would be a guarantee. And I thought you would potentially book Raven against somebody like a Gunther or Brock.
There was a world where I was going to do Raven gets by Hardy and do Raven Edge, because I think like they're just two of my favorites and that would have been a fun match. But I ultimately decided, okay, I think the Hardy run makes more sense from a storytelling aspect. But I did think about how far can I push Raven, and I'll say this again, I did book a full card. Raven does end up defending the Hardcore Championship against Terry Funk on the actual pay-per-view itself. Like I did think about, what do I want to do with these people outside of this? And I'll say this, there's a match on the actual card as well. That's Ilya Dragunov defeating Elias in a Symphony of Destruction match, simply because Ilya does this thing with his hands where he's conducting. And I just think that's he's funny. He's
conducting his demise.
You know, I just think that's funny. So there was a lot of that when I was booking this. But yeah, a lot of fun with this.
Any other thoughts, Callum, before you want to move on?
I think that's pretty much covered it, for the most part.
All right, Callum's up next.
Okay. So, I was going to make a few things that may be a little bit surprising in my lineup, so hopefully it does deliver on that. But I wanted to start off quite hot with this King of the Ring tournament, so my first match is Randy Savage versus the Ultimate Warrior.
I love them working together.
I mean, the Ultimate Warrior is one of his best two opponents other than Hulk Hogan. And I mean Hulk Hogan from 1990, not Hulk Hogan from 1998.
Glad that you specified.
Yeah. So I just wanted, like, these two would be heavy favorites going into it. And then it's just one of those weird coincidences that they have to face each other in the first round. And more often than not, Ultimate Warrior gets the better of Randy Savage in these things. So I decided to subvert expectations by having Randy Savage get the victory over Ultimate Warrior. It could be through some kind of count out, but they're both baby faces going into it. It's a babyface versus babyface match. But, and Savage just manages to eke out the victory. But I just thought that no one's going to get a better match out of Ultimate Warrior on this card than he is, so I might as well just put those two together.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way of utilizing a problematic competitor to their best abilities, but also getting rid of them.
I was curious how you were going to knock Warrior out early on.
Yeah, quite early, yeah. Next up is Bobby Lashley versus Too Cold Scorpio. This is just like you know, the big guy Lashley just dominates Scorpio for the most part. But Scorpio is, he has a fair amount of like size to him as well. He's like one of the, I guess, on the bigger end of the cruiserweight spectrum. So we can do a few bits and pieces to Lashley, and then he's moving around the place, manages to get a few high flying moves to get Lashley off balance a few times, but Lashley's able to lock him up in the hurt lock and get the victory.
I love that. I think they'd have a fun match together.
I'm surprised you didn't put Too Cold Scorpio up against Xavier Woods.
I had other plans for Xavier Woods, and that'll be coming up pretty soon. But next up was Christian versus Tito Santana. Just because that sounds like a fucking good match. Christian versus Tito Santana.
That's I did the same on my version of yours.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like Christian's like the heel, obviously, the more I mean I was toying between whether I go with current day Christian, which I think is the best work of his career, or like kind of more the snibbly, whiny, Captain Creepy Charisma type character, because I think either way, he has like these very interesting heel characters, but he just goes up against Tito Santana, and it's like they have a fun match because they're both just excellent in-ring workers with good high wrestling IQ, and Christian manages to sneak a victory, probably through some crafty shenanigans, probably get some kind of low blow in and roll Santana up.
Definitely down for that.
Next one, there's a reason why it's not Too Cold Scorpio versus Xavier Woods, because it's Xavier Woods versus Kofi Kingston.
I think that's fair.
Because fundamentally, you're never going to see the New Day go up against each other in anything other than a tournament, because they just won't do it in reality. So I thought, okay, I'm going to force you to fight each other, because you're going to... Basically, I take it in the same route as Cash Wheeler versus Dax Harwood from the Owen Hart tournament a couple of years back. Like, this is a one and done thing. They're both baby faces. They both show respect to each other at the start of it. And Xavier Woods comes out on top because he just wants to win the King of the Ring just that little bit more for some reason.
And we just can't have King Kofi Kingston.
You can't do that.
Yeah. Next up, so that's like the first quadrant of the bracket. The next one is Samoa Joe versus Ahmed Johnson. No. Big meaty men slapping meat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that makes sense.
I am not kidding when I say I would love to see this. Just this in general, I think, would be an actually fun match to see.
Yeah, and that's and Joe gets the victory as he should do. But they just, you know, beat each other up for a little bit, a few hefty clotheslines, a few like sentons and stuff like that, and then Joe locks in the Kikina clutch. Ahmed Johnson has to pass out. And then Goldust finds him backstage, and oh my god, what's he doing? then we have Tyson Kidd versus Bobby Cannon. Very specific reason for this. The only thing that I remember of Bobby Cannon's time, the leg drops, obviously. The leg drops, one of the best leg drops in WWE history. But it's more in his run with the King of the Ring tournament. He made it onto the pay-per-view, like in the quarterfinals, against Crash Holly, because they were doing a gimmick with Crash Holly, which some idiot decided to remove from his team for some reason in favor of Bushwhacker Luke. That's fine. Crash Holly. I would love to have Crash Holly in this tournament.
Yeah. Wait.
But then, yeah, Tony got rid of Crash Holly from his.
Oh, that's right. He mulliganed him. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Crash Holly wouldn't have been doing anything other than getting eliminated in the first round. So.
Yeah, but Crash Holly, when he actually did do the King of the Ring tournament, made it all the way to the semifinals because they decided to do a giant killing gimmick. And so I decided to do that here by having Tyson Kidd beat Bob Cannon. It's just like, yeah, it's just Bob Cannon dominates him first, probably because he's a bigger guy, and then Tyson Kidd gets a fluke roll-up, but manages to just out-wrestle him because he's the better wrestler out of the two of them. Just roll up the big guy and like advances forward a bit of like a kind of upset in terms of their relative size. Then we go very old school with Harley Race versus Jim Duggan. Just Harley Race is the very like grizzled veteran type, and Jim Duggan is obviously on the veteran side as well. So it's like two of the older guys in the roster clashing with each other, but Jim Duggan's on the good side. He lifts up the other baby faces. He's a mentor for the other one, whereas Harley Race is just a like a miserly prick. And he gets the victory average in Duggan. Doesn't have to cheat to win. He just is like more of a hefty brawler than Duggan is, and just manages to outbeat him and get the victory. And then final one of the first half is Perry Saturn versus CM Punk. Just because Perry Saturn was a good wrestler. And I think that these two kind of have somewhat similar backgrounds. Obviously, Punk is more of because they both were part of like these Raven Flock things. They always have that kind of outsiderish gimmick of just being a bit of an outcast. And so I think they'd have like a pretty physical match with each other, and Punk would, of course, get the victory. But I would have been fairly interested in seeing that match in a different era.
That feels like something that you would have. Like, if Perry Saturn could have stuck around and would have had the same impact as, like, a Benoit or a Guerrero, it feels like CM Punk would have wanted that.
Then, going on to the other half of the side, with Bret Hart versus Dean Malenko. Funny enough, did have a match in WCW. Funny enough, Bret Hart said he hated every minute of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bret apparently did not like Dean Malenko, which I can't imagine is a real thing, because, like, Dean and Bret feel custom made for each other.
Yeah, that's weird.
I'm giving them a chance to make amends with this one. I think during the match, like, Dean Malenko does something to Bret Hart that like hurts him in the match, so he's just feeling a bit of a pain throughout it. And then I think but again, they're just like two guys that have very similar technical wrestling backgrounds, both in certain ways lack a little bit of straightforward charisma, but make up for it with their in-ring ability. And Bret Hart, of course, gets the victory. Puts him in the sharpshooter, gets the win. Dean Malenko's kind of in the tweenerish role, but they show like begrudging respect at the end of it, and because they both recognise the fact that they're both just great technical wrestlers, and Bret Hart was just the better man on the day. Then we have Rhino versus IRS, and the way this match goes is pretty straightforward. Rhino comes out, it's like just sitting in the corner, just waiting for his opponent. IRS comes out. He's cutting a promo. He's talking about taxes. He's talking about how the people need to pay their taxes. He's bemoaning the crowd. The crowd is getting super annoyed and agitated. IRS turns around. He's holding his like briefcase with some like money or like documents in it. He turns around. Rhino gores him. The documents go flying. Rhino beats him in like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much how you gotta go.
He cut the taxes.
Then we have Kurt Angle versus Jack Swagger.
Makes sense.
Because you know, yeah. Jack Swagger's basically a Kurt Angle ripoff. And they have a pretty standard match between the two of them. It's kind of like peak Perk Angle territory. And he's throwing Swagger around. Swagger's trying to keep up with him. Tries to put in the ankle lock, but he's no match for the actual master of doing it. So he hits the ankle lock on Angle, but Angle almost immediately rolls through out of it. Applies a more affected ankle lock, and Swagger taps out.
I have Angle and Swagger first round in mind too.
Then we have Chris Benoit versus Steve Blackman.
Hmm.
Because they're both kind of... Well, basically, their gimmicks were both, they were very straight-faced, like, very unemotional guys that were just, I mean, you got Lethal Weapon versus a guy who is literally lethal in many ways. so they just go in and, you know, I imagine that it would be like a pretty physical match. And Benoit gets the victory, applies the crossface, Blackman has to tap out, but that's the way it would have to go.
In a world where Steve Blackman actually becomes somebody worth a damn, a match with Benoit is probably something that gets him there.
Then the final quadrant, we start with Big Show versus One Man Gang. Just two big guys running into each other for about 5 minutes. That's basically how it's going to go. They do the whole shoulder barge spot at the start of it to try and establish dominance. One Man Gang gets Big Show down for a little bit. Big Show gets back up, hits the choke slam, maybe the WMD if he can't get One Man Gang up with the choke slam, and advances in because you know he's the better big man. But I wanted to make sure there was some like 2 tons of humanity match going on.
Makes sense, especially like those two. I think that they could have a better match than some of the other possibilities you could have played around with.
And then the next iteration of tag team warfare, it's Bubba Ray Dudley versus Devon Dudley.
Yeah.
And no, this isn't Buddy Ray versus TV champion Devon Dudley.
He was a fighting champion.
It's just the two Dudley boys going after each other, and Bubba Ray is obviously the more established singles guy. He's done more stuff as a singles act, so he just manages to beat Devon in the same way Dax Holwood would beat Cash Wheeler, because Dax just has more experience as a singles wrestler.
Do you think this is what makes Devon turn to the Lord?
Yeah, he might have to find solace in like another type of king. Then you have Dolph Ziggler versus Buddy Murphy.
Straight up, just a good match. Yeah,
this would just be a fun match between two guys that know what they're doing, and Ziggler will get the victory. But it would just be a struggle. I'm going with babyface Dolph Ziggler. I think Dolph Ziggler actually worked so much better as a babyface than he did as a heel.
Yeah, for the most part, I pretty much agree.
I agree that after a certain point, heel Ziggler had no oomph to him, but I still think his best run was as a heel, if that makes sense.
I think he started off well as a heel, but I think then once they turned him babyface, he was super, super over, and then it just diminished over time because they just didn't run with him. And then the final one is Billy Gunn versus Mr. Perfect. I think you'd go with more of a babyface, light-hearted Billy Gunn against the very cocksure Mr. Perfect. I mean, they're both guys that are both, their characters have been kind of like pretty arrogant throughout most of the time. I mean, the one Billy Gunn versus Mr. Perfect, it's kind of like a pretty egotistical match. They're both trying to show off more than almost trying to show off more than getting the victory. And then Mr.
Would
Perfect
you say they're showing their ass?
Well, Billy Gunn shows his ass because Mr. Perfect gets the victory with the perfect plex.
That's the right call.
And yeah, so that's the first round done. Then we move into the second round. Randy Savage versus Bobby Lashley. This is perfect for Randy Savage because he just fought Ultimate Warrior, like this big, strong guy, and now he's going for an arguably an even bigger, stronger guy, Bobby Lashley. And this is the perfect Randy Savage match where he basically lets his opponent do 95% of the work, beat the shit out of him, and then he makes a comeback, hits the big elbow, and gets the victory.
Definitely would be down to see that.
Yeah. It's just archetype Randy Savage match. Then you have Christian versus Xavier Woods. I think it's just like fun. I think they've done like some matches beforehand, maybe in TNA as well as, I don't know if they wrestled one-on-one in WWE at any point. But I think the Christian, just a bit more of a wily veteran with Xavier Woods getting a little bit overexcited, manages to get a cheap roll-up or get his foot on the ropes in a roll-up and pin Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods' quest, in this universe, his quest to become King of the Ring is curtailed for another year. But the Christian just advances off the back of that. So I just think it would be a fun match between those two. Samoa Joe versus Tyson Kidd. It was very, very, very certain I was putting this match on my card once I had those two together.
But how does it end?
Well, it ends with Samoa Joe winning. How he does so is anybody's interpretation. I'd have, if it was my universe and like we could just like kind of reverse all that stuff, I'd have that history be established, and so Tyson Kidd gets quite aggressive with Samoa Joe and goes straight after him. I'd have Joe hit the muscle buster and Kidd kicks out of it, but then gets him in the clutch and forces Kidd to tap out or pass out. But I think it'd be
really good.
But I think it's fun if you have that pre-established history, and that means that Kidd is a lot more fired up going into it, and he manages to get like Joe off his feet for the first like few minutes of the match before Joe takes over. And then Harley Race versus CM Punk. Because CM Punk is super old school, and Harley Race is about as old school as it gets. And
CM Punk loves Harley Race. I think this is a great little tribute match because Punk loves Harley. And I mean, even in that podcast with Cabana, said that his whole mindset when he was champion was like, what would Harley Race do? So that's a really good match.
Yeah. I anticipate it would just be like a knockdown, drag out fights, and Punk gets the victory over Harley Race. That puts the kind of legend in his place and advances onwards. Then we have Bret Hart versus Rhino. not a match that you probably anticipate going up against each other, but it's more about a case of Rhino knows that Bret Hart is the better wrestler than he is, so he is just looking for that one gore. And he pretty much spends the entire match just whenever he gets a moment of separation from Bret Hart working over the leg or working over a limb, whenever he gets separation, Rhino is just going for the gore and trying to hit Bret. I pretty much build the entire match around that. He hits a few other power moves in between to try and like get that separation, but Rhino, for the most part, is just going for that one shot. But Bret manages to constantly avoid it. Rhino goes one last time, hits into the turnbuckle. Bret rolls him out of that, gets him in the sharpshooter. Rhino, even though he's got like some of the biggest fights in the business, he can't withstand the pain of the sharpshooter and forces to tap out.
I like that story a lot, except the one thing I would do is just not have Bret put him in the sharpshooter. I would just, Rhino hits the buckle, it eats like a small package or something, and that's how Bret advances, because that's probably what they would have done with Bret. But I like that story a lot.
Then we have Kango versus Chris Benoit. Because,
makes sense.
Because it's, as I want, some of my favorite matches of all time are Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit, so I'm just going to put those two against each other. I've got to use Chris Benoit.
Like I said with Warrior, if you're going to do it, put them where you know that they're actually, like, this is where they work best, and then get them out of there.
Yeah, so they have a great match, and then Kurt Angle advances. Then we have Big Show versus Bubba Ray Dudley. Again, this is very like early 2000s type match. Imagine that Bubba tries to get a table involved in this to try and even the odds against the much bigger Big Show, like have a ref bump, and then Bubba tries to get a table involved to even the odds. Big Show chokeslams him through the table instead, and he advances once the referee revives himself. And then Dolph Ziggler versus Mr. Perfect, because it's arguably the two greatest sellers in WWE history going up against each other in one match, where literally they'll hit one move and they'll flop all over the ring as a result of it.
Argued Billy Gunn was in that territory as well with Perfect. So yeah. I like what you're doing here for the Mr. Perfect arc.
Yeah, so I just think this would be just, you know, a lot of fun. Those two are obviously great wrestlers, and then Mr. Perfect just manages to advance at the expense of Ziggler. He's just a little bit better. You can have like Ziggler be a bit more younger and naive, and Perfect is able to take advantage of that to get the victory. All right, then we're into the quarterfinals. Randy Savage versus Christian. So this is obviously a different prospect for Savage now, because he's faced like two much bigger guys, and now he's facing this Weasley conniving smaller heel. So Savage is actually able to take advantage a lot more early, because he's the bigger guy. That Christian, like, thumb to the eye, finger in the eye, rake in the eyes, anything that he can do to basically disturb Savage's momentum in any cheap shot possible. And I think that these two would have a very, maybe not like Savage thing, though, but a very like higher standard of match than the previous ones that either of them would have had so far. Like, Christian's already had to work over Santana and Xavier Woods, so he's basically there to have pretty much like low-key banger matches, and then he has a great match with Savage, and Savage advances.
Savage against Christian would be a hell of a feud, too.
Mm. Yeah. Like,
beyond just the match itself.
And then Samoa Joe versus CM Punk. Again,
just, you can't go wrong.
Sometimes just do what you know, and we know that these two, you basically just tell a story that they fought each other so many times before, and now they have to meet each other in this tournament as well, and you almost have like, Joe's won X number of matches against Punk. Punk's won X matches against Joe, so they're pretty even going into this. And Joe just adds another one to his collection by beating CM Punk, just forcing him to maybe not tap out to the or pass out to the kicking clutch. This time he probably hits the muscle buster and gets the victory instead, just through pinfall. But yeah, I just think we know that they have great matches. That'll be a lot of fun. Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle. In the quarterfinals, everyone was expecting hoping that this would be in the final, but just the way that the bracket is laid out, it's going to happen in the semifinals instead. And, you know, they just have, they literally like go 30 plus minutes against each other. Like, it's an absolute war between these two, because not only are they trying to win and advance in the tournament, but in both their minds, this is a match to prove who's the best wrestler in the world. And they go out, go as like hard as they possibly can each other, kick out of like angle slams and pile drivers, and they both manage to like escape the ankle lock and escape the sharpshooter. And just when it comes down to the end, we do the old Bret Hart spot in the corner where Angle goes for a German suplex, but Bret Hart runs up the turnbuckle, like falls backwards onto Angle, manages to hold him down for a free count, like a flash free count. Bret Hart wins. Kurt Angle is absolutely livid about the whole thing. He's like destroying, like ripping up the padding in the ring and on the floor and the announce table. And as Bret Hart's like going up the ramp to celebrate, Angle beats the shit out of him, runs up the ramp, beats the shit out of him, puts him in an ankle lock, busts him wide open, like he's bleeding all over the place, and just leaves Bret Hart absolutely laid out and in a lot of jeopardy going into his semi-final match.
We love that. That makes so much sense.
Very surprised Harding Angle isn't either the finals or at least the semifinals.
Yeah, the reason why that there was a big caveat for me when going into this is that actually I won't say it until the end because it might spoil the final. So I'll leave it till then. Because in the other quarterfinal match to determine who will be facing Bret Hart, it's Big Show versus Mr. Perfect. The reason why is a simple reason. I've seen Mr. Perfect give the giant the perfect plex.
Mm-hmm. He can do it, so do it.
So why not see him do it? And Big Show's, you know, he's not like, he's more on the babyface side of things right now. He's kind of just like, he's your just wandering giant that beats up whoever's in front of him. And Mr. Perfect's definitely playing the more cowardly fend-off heel to try and deal with the power of Big Show. But he manages to, when the referee's distracted, get a low blow in, like take a few shots, cheap shots, then hits the perfect plex out of nowhere. It's just like, oh my God, what an incredible feat of strength by Perfect. It's just the perfect suplex on the giant guy and gets the pin off the back of that. So he still does something super impressive, but he has to cheat to win. And that leads us to semifinals. Randy Savage versus Samoa Joe.
Definitely a match that could be a finals match.
Yeah. I did consider putting Joe somewhere in the final earlier on, but I thought that, again, this is just Randy Savage against a monster, but a monster that can work and almost keep up with him, like, just technically, as well as, like, your guys like Lashley and Warrior, which are a bit more like your typical powerhouse guys. Joe has that, but then also is like, super quick and agile, so it's a real, real test for Savage to go through this, but he does manage to overcome Joe, escape the Kikina clutch, get up to the top rope, hit the elbow drop. He has to hit like two or three elbow drops to get Samoa Joe down. I would love to do the spot at one point where Savage goes up, hits the elbow drop, but Joe immediately then locks in the Kikina clutch as he's hit it. Just like, feel like, oh my God, he looks like Savage won, but Joe's tied him up and Savage is able to escape it and then eventually get the victory. But yeah, that's just the way that Savage works, just overcoming the odds. And then the other semi-final is Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect. Again, sticks for what you know. We know how great this one is. It was it has been a semi-final of the King of the Ring tournament before, back in, believe it was 93. Yeah, 93. Yeah, that one. And they went about 30 minutes in that one as well. So, but I'd have, obviously, Bret Hart's coming to this, like, busted up. He's been hurt by Angle in their previous match. So Perfect has a bit of an advantage, but Bret just won't just lie down and take the defeat. He fights back. He gives it everything that he possibly can. But at the end of the day, Perfect is able to capitalize on Bret Hart's injuries and hit the perfect plex and get the victory. And every time Perfect has hit the perfect plex so far in this tournament, that has been the killer blow. Nobody's kicked out of it, and Bret Hart isn't able to kick out of it either. So that leads to the final of Mr. Perfect versus Randy Savage.
Definitely not the final that I would have picked.
Wouldn't have guessed it from you, but it is a good final.
See, I wanted to surprise a little bit.
Yeah,
and again, this has just been Savage's had got to go through so many different challenges, and so it's like Warrior, Lashley, and Joe, these super powerhouse guys, and Christian just being like a dirty cheating bastard. But it's taken a lot out of Savage, whereas Perfect hasn't obviously had the easiest run. Gunn, Ziggler, Big Show, and Bret Hart, but he feels a little bit fresher going into this. Bret Hart was hurt going into it. Big Show was just like he took a beating, but he managed to survive it, and it wasn't a super long match out of all of them. And Ziggler and Gunn were just younger guys which showed a lot of energy but weren't able to keep up with a perfect like technique and greater experience, whereas Savage had to go through war after war after war pretty much. And they have a super fun match. I'm sure they've had plenty of matches in the past before as well, but this just like feels it has a bit more bite to it. And Perfect is able to consistently avoid the elbow drop. Savage goes for it one last time, manages to Perfect just dodges just at the perfect moment where Savage's elbow just goes really hard into the mat, and he's just clutching his elbow super hard. He basically can't do anything with his right arm anymore. Perfect gets him into the perfect plex, and you think that maybe this is the one time that someone's going to be able to kick out of it, but no, his shoulder and his arm is just too hurt that he can't get the shoulder up, and Perfect pins Savage and becomes your King of the Ring. He's now the Perfect King.
I am totally on board with Perfect being King of the Ring.
King Perfect,
I would have expected King Bryan Danielson from Callum and King Mr. Perfect from Tony. So that's the beauty of the randomizer.
I mean, if it would have played out that I would have gotten Perfect instead of Danielson, I don't know what would have been different from mine, but Perfect more than likely would have been somewhere in the finals, if not the final.
Yeah. My big caveat going into this is that I didn't want someone who'd previously won King of the Ring to win my tournament.
Same here.
Immediately ruled out Angle, Hart, Savage, like a good number of people in my card. But so yeah, I wanted to make, I immediately, pretty much as soon as I just took a few minutes to just lay out the people I had, I said, yeah, Perfect's winning this tournament.
I am surprised that it's Perfect and Savage in the finals, as opposed to you going with like Samoa Joe, Savage, or Punk and Brett, or say Perfect and like Perfect and Angle. I would have thought that there would have been a couple different other variations that you would have gone with. Never would have guessed Savage and Perfect.
I'm not the biggest fan, as you know, of this late 80s, 90s, early 90s WWE era. I think for the most part it sucks. But the part of that sucking is that the people that stand out really stand out.
Yeah.
So it's been good. And so Savage and Perfect are like, okay, I would love it if you two had been around in any other era than the one that you're currently working in. But it means that you are by far the best people on your roster. And yeah, I've always had kind of a bit of a soft spot for Mr. Perfect. He was around at the kind of, both in a strange way, both at the perfect time, but also the wrong time. And so I think that he should have achieved more in WWE, and him winning King of the Ring here would be the perfect platform for him to do something more recognizable. I say he's long time Intercontinental champion, but he never really advanced beyond that point. So this would at least put him in record books in a more significant way.
You sold me on Perfect being champion out of this, or King of the Ring, not necessarily champion. Definitely surprised about going with like Bret Hart versus Rhino. I was surprised you put both Bubba Ray and Devon against each other, and Woods and Kofi against each other. Some of the things you got are exactly what I have for my version of your card, funny enough.
Yeah, I was taking a look at your version of my card. You have similar things to what I have throughout, and one match being dead on, which is hysterical.
I ended up with like some of the better hands in terms of my draft. I think I probably got on the winning end of things. So, but I managed to put together mostly matches I'd be interested in seeing for the most part. There's only a few that I was kind of like, yeah, I could take or leave, but most of them would be have some element of fun to them.
So, out of the three cards that we have, everybody, of course, keep in mind the randomizer that we had started this off with and what we were working with for our cards and stuff. Tell us who you think had the best card overall, who do you agree with? Who do you disagree with? Who do you think you would have put in a different spot? Would you have booked certain other matches or other feuds or something? Maybe they all could be coming up in the Darkcast. We've said, you know, a couple times during this whole thing, book some alternative cards and stuff. So you'll be able to get that if you are on the Patreon or the YouTube channel membership Darkcast tier. I have multiple different cards for both Rob and Callum's lists and another variation of my card. So we will get into that in the future. And, you know, keep in mind that we also want to know if you have any kind of mock drafty things that you had done. Like, did you randomize it yourself? And, you know, if that's the case, what did you end up going with for your card? Who would you have been rooting for? What's the biggest highlight? What's the biggest low point? That kind of thing. As we usually do here, like, what would you rather see between the two other cards other than your own, between Callum's tournament and Rob's tournament? I would say the overall, like, both have matches that I would definitely be interested in seeing. Yeah, and there's some in both of the sets of rounds that would have been like, all right, I can kind of skip on that match, whatever. I'd say Callum had the luck of having a lot more people that I personally am a fan of, where, you know, the lower people even on his group are like Too Cold Scorpio and like IRS and all. And Rob ended up having people like Danny Davis and the Spoiler and all. So that does give Callum an edge for mine.
No, Rob had edge.
Yeah. The finals being either Gunther versus Brock or Randy Savage versus Mr. Perfect. That's a tough one for me. My curiosity would probably go Gunther Brock if I just had to pick like a finals that I'd be more interested in. But if I'm watching the full tournament, I think I'd go Callum. What would you guys do?
I think, you know, as I'm thinking about it now, Tony and I kind of swapped philosophies for this one, where Tony did a lot of, like, character work, and, yeah, we'll do this sketch, and then they're doing this backstage, and I was just sort of like, nope, I know where I'm going here, I know the matches I want, and that's kind of what we're doing. So I'd be interested in Tony's in that way, but I think from a tournament perspective, even with the banger final of Owen and Daniel Bryan, I think Callum just has the best overall tournament.
Yeah, so out of your two, so I'm a match guy, so I'm always going to lean to one of the ones that has the better matches, and I think they both have a lot of fun matches. But one of them has Alex Riley in the second round, so I think I've got to go with. So I think I've got to go with Tony's one as the best, the more interesting one out of the two.
Alrighty, well, that is our second part of a three-part for the mock draft and randomizer whole setup of the King of the Ring to celebrate the fact that we have the King and Queen of the Ring tournament going on right now, which of course is currently happening on Raw and SmackDown, and this honestly playing out in a way that I didn't anticipate it would. I started this off just being like, all right, well, it's Gunther in the finals against maybe Randy Orton. And now I'm like, is it Jay against Tama Tonga?
That's still on the table, but Tama Tonga and Jay is really starting to look like it might be the one that happens.
It could be. And the Queen of the Ring, I mean, even that, I'm like, that maybe it's Jade against Io, but that doesn't feel like it's necessarily a guarantee. Could it's be Lyra just versus Tiffany Stratton, for all we know.
It's just Tiffy time. We need to hurry this up. It's it's just Tiffany. Like,
yeah, it's interesting how this is playing out, too. So we will be talking more about that in the future for the hot tags coming up later on this week. And, of course, when we get into King and Queen of the Ring for the pay-per-view stuff, keep breaking that down on that front. But drop your thoughts in the comments below. Make sure that you hit the like button. Make sure that you stay tuned to that Darkcast, as we mentioned, where we follow this up with some even more variations. I don't want to spoil anything necessarily from my cards. I haven't checked out what other alternative stuff that these guys have done either, but I will say that at least on my end, there are definitely some changes to my 16 tournament, 16-man tournament thing. like, I'll flat out say one of the biggest elements of the tournament that I did was the whole Ted DiBiase buy-in and The Rock turning heel and all. Both the DiBiases and The Rock are not even in my 16-man tournament. So that changes things up drastically. Jake the Snake Roberts is a babyface in my 16-man card. You know, I mean, I do have a variation of the Big Man Buffet called something a little bit different. And it's something kind of stupid, but at the same time, it made me laugh. You know, if we want to check out the Darkcast and find that out, we'll be recording that sometime soon, uploading that. Make sure that you promote everything when it comes to not only Smart Cat Moment, but also Fanboys Anonymous that's out there. You know, share us around, post us on things like Reddit or, you know, a Discord server you might be a part of or something like that. Discord server that we have, of course, is up there for you to join in on all the discussion outside of just whatever, you know, the comments and stuff are for these particular articles and such. We got Smart Cat Place. As always, Redbubble, TeePublic, Patreon, YouTube channel membership, the thanks button and all that. Cannot stress enough how much of an importance that is if you want us to continue to keep operations going here now more than ever. Could be the difference maker between seeing Smart Cat Moment in 2025. Could be the difference maker in seeing the hot tags in the latter half of 2024, for all we know. If you want to help us stick around, that's the best way to do it, everybody. You know, eventually things come to a head. So don't lose sight of that. Make sure that you are following the Linktree stuff that you find at amangotree.com. Show me some love over on all those different platforms. And, you know, you can find me most of the places at Tony Mango. Possibly some other places coming up soon that I'll talk about when I can. But that's it for me right now. Of course, make sure you are also following Robin Callum.
Yep, you can follow me everywhere at Dude Felice. Check out DudeFelice.com for just a quick shot of all the articles I do on Fightful.com, which you should be supporting them as well. Of course, best $5 in the industry for all your news with Fightful Select. And yeah, just keep an eye on things and continue to support, especially continue to support here and a Mango Tree, because even if I, for whatever reason, could no longer do Fightful, I would always be by Tony's side. So, you know, just always support here.
You can find me on Twitter at WakeMeister14. You can check out the power rankings over on smartcatmoment.com. So if you want to head on over there to peruse all the stuff that is on the website, make sure that you head over to the power rankings every Saturday to see how I am ranking the WWE superstars based on their previous week's performances. And then also while you're there, you can also head on over to the Fantasy League, also at WWEFantasyLeague.com. It's very, very early days in the standings, but the first week's results are in. Points are being accrued across Raw and NXT this week so far, and SmackDown, of course, as well. So keep following along to see how our teams continue to get on as the year progresses.
Jada Parker for North American champ. Let's go.
Possibility. Let's go. I mean, she's got a strong chance of being able to win that. Javon Evans actually popped up on TV and won a match, so I was kind of happy about that. More on Fantasy League in the future. We got pay-per-view coming up, so that's a big deal when it comes to that. But yeah, that's it for the second of three podcasts dedicated to our mock draft / fantasy booking matchmaker setup of King of the Ring mock draft randomizer. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully you stay tuned for the Darkcast and the hot tags, and we will see you then, everybody. But for now, this has been another Smart Cat Moment, and we are being counted out.